Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Naked Englishman podcast. I'm Richard Vobes. This is the audio diary of my life. Behind the scenes of a YouTube creator. On the 30th of December 2024, we've only got 2 days left of this year, and then the next one. And I remember feeling this time, oh, it's 9 o'clock, by the way, and I did do a recording earlier today and put it up for about 10 minutes and then took it down because it was quite, it was just not right. So I remember feeling that trepidation this time last year, for people had been telling us how awful 2024 was going to be. And we'd had 2023, which had been a curious year for me, as in the full year of sort of doing what we'd been doing. And then there was another year of the Richard Vobes channel doing what it was going to be doing. And I thought we were being told all sorts of terrible things were going to happen. And of course, these terrible things never really actually did happen. And so now here we are on the brink of 2025. Again, it's an important year ahead. 5 years from this year, 2030, which everyone's been, you know, the dark forces have held up as some special year. And then other people have said in 2025, between 2025 and 2027, there's this huge E. coli ejection from the sun that's likely to cause us problems and all sorts of stuff. And in the end, you start to think, actually, if we listen to any of these bloody people, none of this stuff really comes to pass. And are we just getting ourselves incredibly worried about things too much? And the answer is probably yes. However, a lot of people wouldn't make any money at all if they weren't predicting doom and gloom. And I suppose for a while I was on that bandwagon to a certain degree, predicting the doom and gloom, although we do know who the dark forces are and we do know that they exist. Whereas I suppose before I wasn't quite as aware of the cabal and all what was going on. So over 2 years down the line, one is a lot wiser, but hopefully still wise enough to continue to learn from what one has thought was going to happen that never really did happen. So we've only got 2 days of our diarists to go, which is really quite sad. I was hoping that something would have popped up in between, but we'll see, because who knows what might pop up in between. So the 30th of December in 1769 in Hampshire, Gilbert White was talking about his peacock butterfly, the Papilio Io. It's a peacock butterfly which appears indoors and is very brisk. Little butterfly. Quite strange to think here we are at the end of December, a butterfly is around, although we are talking some years ago now, and of course we've killed off so much of our wildlife. It's just so sad. Dorothy Wordsworth in 1802 in Cumberland says, "We ate some potted beef on horseback and sweet cake. We stopped our horse close to the hedge opposite a tuft of primroses, three flowers in full blossom and a bud. They reared themselves up among the green moss. We debated long whether we should pluck them, and at last left them to live out their day, which I was glad of at my return the Sunday following, for there they remained uninjured either by cold or wet." What a life it must have been for her in an uncluttered world to be able to leave something so beautiful as a primrose and know that no young wag would have gone by and just seen it and stamped on it, like sometimes they do. So the cold thing is pretty much gone. You can still hear it in my voice. I can still feel it in my chest a little bit, and still got a bit of the cough, but in essence it has all but gone. I was quite Oh, I've forgotten the word. Not remote. Remorse. Oh, down. Still struggling to clear the muddled head that I've had for the last 7 days, which has been very irritating. Julia has caught up now and is feeling a lot better. We're probably on a par now, so that's really good. And she's got to go back to her house to do some sorting out because her children are away and sort out various things. And that gives me some time to do some writing this morning after I've done a video, which I shall start to do in a second once I've uploaded this. We got up early and came downstairs. It was just very gloomy. It is, again, another white day and there's no cloud. You know, it is so depressing when you see that. And I did ask myself, what happened to those mornings that you have in winter where the sun clambers up about this time or maybe a bit earlier and it's orange, you know, and there's blue sky and you just feel like there's a new day, a new life. We strolled round to the car yesterday to go and feed the cats at Julia's. And as we went past a particular little bush here near the pub, there were some buds. And it reminded me that although everything is in this sort of weird twilight, things are happening in nature that we, unless you look, unless you've got the eyes to see with, you miss and think everything's dead and lifeless. But of course, it is that great holding of its breath. And trees are putting its energy into the new life that will burst forth soon, but not quite yet. And of course, we're not yet into January, but we've had quite a mild time of it. And I dare say the snowdrops will be out soon and all the little white flowers before we get to the main event in April, May time, and we burst into spring. And let's hope that we do burst into a lovely, beautiful spring this year, because I think we could all do with a bit of colour. Having had the government with its sludge grey policies being shoved left, right and centre. But anyway, I don't want to get into any of that. Yesterday, enjoyed a bit of reading from R.F. Delderfield. I was going to try and do some writing, but I was still feeling a bit rough and uninspired. And normally, it doesn't take inspiration for me to write. I'm not somebody who needs to, you know, wander around the house collapsing onto divans with one's hand up against the forehead going, oh, where's the inspiration? Where is the inspiration? Normally, I just sit down and just get on with it. But it was this cold and all these things are just you know, in the way. It was as if there was a great big lump. But today I feel that's gone. So that's a start. Julia's sorted out a new phone that she's got. She's looking absolutely radiant and lovely, beautiful as ever.
My darling, just when I really needed to hear it.
And my nose is so itchy at the moment. I just shaved, and the soap and the shaving and then the soreness from all the blowing of the hooter, all those three factors have turned my nose into a itch monster. But
it's looking much better, though.
Good. Thank you. So...
And you're still handsome as ever.
And apparently I'm as handsome as ever. Well, I'm hoping we have been eating pretty well. I'm hoping that the loss of weight that happened due to not eating, especially in the first 3-4 days of this wretched illness where the appetite just vanishes and, you know, you're coughing and all that. I'm hoping, and I felt like I really did look like I dehydrated, but... I'm hoping that all that's now done and that the skin is replenishing itself. We went to the farm shop yesterday, and it was nice to get out and go on a trip. And we went up over Arundel, for those that know the area, past a place called Whiteways, which is a favourite stopping point at, what is it called? Brougham Wood. I think it's Brougham Wood, something like that. I've made videos enough times there. And it was packed, absolutely packed.
Not appealing.
Not appealing for anybody to, you know, to get away. But you can imagine, but there's a cafe there, you see. Lord Leconfield, or whoever the Duke of Norfolk is who lives, whose land it is. You're just putting some salve.
On his nose.
On my nose. Cumber.
He wouldn't really let me do it before.
No. And yes, the Duke of Norfolk's land, he's put meters in there now. You have to pay to park. It was free for years, well, forever. And now you have to pay. But it was packed, rammed, and I think people just wanted a day out. It was so grey and there was nowhere to go, and they just got in their car, went to the top of Berry Hill, where Whiteways is, and in their numbers, they've all did the same thing. And probably the little cafe selling steaming cups of tea has probably done a roaring trade. But whether many people actually went walking or not, I don't know.
Yeah. Can you say, bah?
Bah.
Yeah, that's what they were doing.
Yes. They just don't have any imagination to go somewhere else. I suppose it does take a bit of an effort if you wanted to go off the beaten track and take a thermos flask with you.
Yes, I suppose it's easy for me to take the mick because I have the wonderful Richard Vobes, who...
And we have our own van with our own tea facilities.
Yeah, you've been and looked up so many of these places to go and these out-of-the-way nooks where there's places to park and walk for a lovely walk without seeing many people. So I am privileged and lucky for that. I mustn't take that for granted.
No, and we must do... I'm determined to get back out into nature next year. We've had 2 years of this stuck-inside business. It's difficult now because you're homeschooling, of course. Although we just have to take the kids.
But that's all part and parcel of the future that we're trying to, you know, that we've been trying to manifest, to build unify.
Yes, it absolutely. It's just the sort of practical thing of getting into the countryside. But once our house is in the countryside and the walks radiate from the house, we don't have to take the van or the car. We just take a rucksack and the thermos and away we bloody go and a little... one of those Primus stove things that you cook from twigs would be perfect. And then we just go. Or we can go and leave the kids there. You see, that's the thing. Because they'd be in the country anyway. Mm. You know what I mean? Well, what I mean is if your house is in the middle of nowhere and there's fields all around and you want to go for a little walk for 10 minutes or half an hour, you don't have to take the whole family with you.
Well, the advantage of having... one child 9 years older than the other is that and he's got a fairly mature head on his shoulders, so
yes,
he's babysitting age for sure now.
Yes, exactly. It's not like you're leaving a kid in it seems worse in my mind is that you'd go for it would be no different than walking down here to the seafront, which can take 15 minutes to walk down.
Well, I've been testing out this babysitting theory this year. You know, a few times I've taken a 2-minute stroll down to the corner shop, grab a couple of items, usually apple juice for the little tyke, and then come back. And A, it's helped clear my head because I needed that little break, and B, it's helped the little one clear his head and realise, oh, mummy's gone without me instead of taking me with her. And the old ones had to take some responsibility and, you know, help manage his younger sibling.
Exactly. Anyway.
Sorry about that self-analysis.
There you go. Right. Better go and do this video now. So I'm going to upload this. Thank you for listening to this. Hopefully each one will be more positive and healthy.
Here on out.
He says coughing at the last few seconds. Anyway, thank you for listening. Till next time. Toodle pip.
Have a nice one.